morning for our worship and praise, because He lives.
Thank you.
card here from Ms. Joanne Harbin in the passing of her husband Gene. Says your kindness and concern have meant so very much and will always be remembered. Thanks so much for the moms. They were beautiful. Hope to see you all soon. Love, Joanne Harbin. Also got a special prayer request this morning. Paige Peeler has been taken to the hospital with a temperature of 103. She is pregnant and she is the daughter-in-law of Shirley Peeler. Remember that. Any other prayer requests this morning before we pray? Continue to remember the search committee. You want it? Not, Brother Glenn Burstfield, you lead us on for a prayer, please.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come back into your house and praise and worship. Pray, O God, for these who are sick and sick, we pray that you lay your feet hand on them. Pray for the ones who have lost loved ones. Pray that you'll comfort them as only you can. Pray, O God, for Brother Wade as he brings us the message this morning. We just thank you and praise you for the work that him and Father are doing. Pray that you will bless them. Pray that our church will continue to support them. Ask that you bless this offering tonight this morning for that building in your kingdom. Thank you.
Jim, we're getting here, Brother Wade, come preach to us, brother.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Brother Gary. If you have your Bibles, open them to the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And as you're turning in your Bibles, I want to say once again, thank you for having us, and thank you for adopting us as your missionaries. We've been missionaries to Boone's Creek Baptist Church now for over 25 years, and we just cannot thank you enough. And we appreciate your love and your prayers, and that supports us as we go around the world and do ministry. And I want you to know that we think about you a whole lot, and I'll always love coming here. And I think, 2 years ago was it, Brother Tim? I did a revival here, and that was just an incredible, wonderful week. And I want to thank you for all you do for us. And one of the things that we like to do every year, or every other year, is come here personally, share about the work during the Sunday school hour, and bring a message. Now today, I want to speak to you on a really, really practical, serious, up-to-date message. I want to ask you a question. What would you be willing to die? What would you really be willing to die for? As I've been thinking about that this week, I said, you know, I'd be willing to die for my wife. I'd be willing to die for any of my kids. I'd be willing to die for any of my grandkids. If it came down to it, between me and them, I'd be happy to let my life go, and I'd make a choice. But beyond our family, there are some other issues on the table that I would consider eternal issues. Back in the days when the New Testament was written, the Christians lived under the Roman Empire. Barbara and I were just in Rome a few weeks ago doing training on Islamic Muslim evangelism, how to win and reach Muslims for Christ. And as I go to Rome, I've been there several times, I always think about that Colosseum and the Roman Empire. And think about the days of Pilate, the days of Nero, when Nero hated the Christians so much that he burnt Rome down and blamed it on the Christians. And Nero and these emperors, Domitian and others, would take Christians and they would literally tie them to a pole and burn them alive to light the gardens, the beautiful gardens that they had at night. They would put Christians in that Roman Colosseum and sick the most vicious wild animals that you could possibly think of on them to kill them. That was back in those days, and the book of Revelation was written during that time, and that's why the book of Revelation is written in what we call apocalyptic language, or it's in code language. And to be honest, nobody understands all the codes in the language, even though this day, even though somebody might, some people might tell you this is what it means, and he doesn't know every time, I'll tell you. Because there could be 10 different interpretations of one code. But those people back in those days knew that. Let's bring it up today. I've seen pictures on television, and you have too, where ISIS has taken Christians, and because they refused to denounce their faith and declare Islam their faith, they've cut their heads off. I get a thing called jihadwatch.org. If you don't get that, you should get that. It's free. I get it every day. And just about every day I read where the Islamic terrorist jihadists are killing Christians every day. They're going into Africa, where Barbara and I have been, raiding villages that are basically Christians, taking little girls and making them sex slaves, burning churches, literally trying to get rid of every single Christian in the Middle East. persecution is on the rise against the Christian faith and Christians like never before in the history of mankind. And so the question comes, what are you willing to die for outside your own family? And you know the bottom line answer for me is this. And when God called me to preach the gospel, I was 15 years of age. He put a message in my heart, and I've been preaching this central theme message ever since, and I've never changed. And that is, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
I am willing to die for that. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, now we're going to get to Luke in just a second, but I want you to notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it is the clearest verse in the Bible that tells you how to be saved. It says, if you'll believe in your heart, believe, if you'll confess with your mouth, I'm sorry, that Jesus is the Lord. Dr. Gray Allison, who founded Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary, and I've taught there, not now, but I've taught there, said this one time, and I never thought about it until I heard him say it. And I tell people this around the world every time I say it. It puts a shock on everybody's face. But he says, the Bible never tells you to accept Jesus as your Savior. Hmm. You think about it. He is our Savior. He died on the cross, shed His blood for our sins. But the Bible never tells you to accept Him as your Savior. Every time, the Bible says to accept Jesus as your Lord, and then you will be saved. Now that changes things. And what changes is this. Nobody wants to go to hell, so everybody would say, oh, I believe He's my Savior. I want to trust Him as my Savior. I believe He's my Savior. But I don't want to give Him my life. I don't want Him taking control of my life. And you see, you cannot have Him as your Savior unless you're willing for Jesus to be the Lord of your life.
Amen.
And this verse says, confess Him as Lord and believe in your heart. And that word believe does not mean intellectual head belief. That word believe means a surrender of your whole life to Him as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
You have to trust Him as Savior for sure. But you must surrender to Him as Lord. Now I want to show you something in the Bible, what Jesus says about this. Because this is going to become the most prevalent, dominant thing facing the church and facing Christians in our lifetime and in the lifetime of our children and our grandkids. And that is in Luke 9:23 when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to be saved, you want to be my disciple, you want to really be a Christian, you must do three things. Number one, He said, you must deny yourself. Now what does that mean? That means making Christ the Lord of your life. But that means you deny your rights. I don't preach politics, but let me tell you. Charles Colson said one day, he said, you know, every law that's ever passed by Congress is a moral law. Has morality involved in it. And I don't talk about Obamacare, and I don't talk about all these other issues, because they are political. But let me tell you something. We have a mandate as preachers, missionaries, evangelists, to speak about biblical issues.
Amen.
And if we stay silent on biblical issues, we are not being prophetic. What does it mean to give up your rights? It means you're going to make Christ the Lord of your life, and you're willing to die for that. America is at a crossroads. Never in my life did I think I was going to see it. I've been telling my students at seminary for a long time,
you're going to be experiencing this and that, but I thought that would all happen after I died. But I want to say to you today, the Church of Christ better get ready for some rough days. Forward, I just left India. They know what persecution is. They know what it means to live under oppressive governments against Christians. Barbara and I have been in Vietnam, where we have to have training meetings in highly secret places, or else people will get in serious trouble. Christians today, I don't believe as a whole, are prepared for what we think of as persecution, because America has truly never experienced. But when we say, I will give up my rights and make Jesus the Lord of my life, there's a lot of other implications in that. For me, first of all, that means that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
Are you willing to die for that? And our universities today, our young people are being taught that the Bible is full of myth. And we need, I believe in our churches, and I've been saying this for quite a while, and I just had a good discussion with some leaders about this. Before our kids graduate from high school, in the church, we better prepare them on how to answer questions. Because they're going to go to these universities, they're going to be taught, as they are in high school, that evolution is the way and creation is not. And if you start studying evolution to its finest point under Darwinism, it's all an atheistic teaching. I believe when you say Jesus is Lord, you're also going to include the fact, hey, the Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus' words are from God Himself. I believe that you will have a value of life for the unborn. Today, in our world today, as you know, we're being pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to accept the killing of children in the womb. You know what that is? It is nothing more and nothing less than the sacrificing of children under the pagan religions that you read about in the Old Testament. But let me read you a Psalm. 139, verse 13. You're created in my inmost being. You're knit together in my mother's womb. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus, the babe, leaped in the mother's womb. Not a thing, a babe. Marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. We're being asked by some politicians, one in particular, that we as a church need to discard our religious faith on that issue. No, sir. I'm willing to go to jail. I'm willing to be put in prison. And I'm willing to die standing up. Jesus is Lord. Jesus said marriage is between a man and a woman. Now let me tell you what's going to happen. The Supreme Court is at stake in this next election, and if the one party gets in, they've already started. They're going to try. They're not going to try. They're going to do it. They're going to have homosexuals and transgender people coming in, not to just the University of Tennessee. They're already there. Into our Christian institutions, such as Union University and all these other places. And they're going to force that homosexual transgender agenda on Christian institutions. That's what's at stake. Now, I'm not giving in to that.
Amen.
Because Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Another one that's properly preached and taught all over the world, and particularly here in America, is the attack on their many different religions. They're all good, and they all lead to heaven. I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible says. No. And I'm willing to die for that. And here's what happens, and we need to prepare our young people for this. They say, if you say that Jesus is the only way to be saved, they say, you are not tolerant. But, are they tolerant toward us?
No.
You see, the Bible says that man and God are separated because of sin. And I know world religions. Hinduism does not have a solution to the sin problem. Because there's a holy God and there's a sinful man and there's sin between man and God. Islam has no answer to the sin problem that separated man and God. Judaism, Catholicism, anyism, spiritism, demonism, paganism. The only answer is God loves His world and He loves you and He became a man. That's Jesus. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross for our sins. Amen. And when He died on that cross, the Father took your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world and laid them on Christ. And He bore the iniquity of us all.
Amen.
In other words, Christ died for your sins. You know why He did that? Because the Bible says there's only one payment for sin. What is that? Death by blood. And Christ came and died and shed His blood to pay for our sins. And when you repent and call upon Him as your Lord and Savior and give Him your life, unconditional, the Spirit of God will come into you. He'll forgive you. He'll live in you. He'll write your name in the book of life. And there is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
I didn't write that. So when He says, give up your rights, what He's saying is, I don't have a right to my life any longer because Jesus is my Lord. And I'm saying to you here in America today, we are at a crossroads, and if things don't go right, I'm saying to you as a church, get prepared.
Amen.
Because we're going to be persecuted. And you're going to be treated as a subculture. You're going to be treated as an intolerant, deplorable person simply because Christ is the Lord of your life. Barbara and I meet people all over the world that live under persecution, that live under suppressive governments. We're in these countries constantly, but I never thought that we would in America. But I believe that day is coming. The day of judgment is upon us. And you have to answer the question, what are you willing to die for? And you know what we're going to see? I'm predicting. I believe we're going to have a fallout. We're going to really find out who the real Christians are.
Amen.
When the government comes in and takes your tax thing away, when you give a donation to the church, you no longer get your tax. Are you going to keep tithing? What if the government did something like it? I don't think we'll ever get to this point. I don't know. But like one of the ladies in Vietnam came to our training. She went home. She started sharing the gospel. The police came and arrested her and took her job away from her and took her land away from her and took her house away from her and told her to get out of the camp. Simply because she's following Christ. And she looked at the police and said, I will never stop preaching Jesus. We were down in the southern part of Vietnam in what's called the Delta. Barbara and I were staying in this little hotel. They came by every morning and said, won't you walk down to the corner? We walk down to the corner and a car comes up. All the windows are blacked out. We jump in real fast. They take us out of the city, out into the country. There's a walled house out there. And the leader, he's the leader of a whole lot of house churches. They can't have churches. They have house churches. Now they can have them. If you're registered, you can get a church. But all these underground ones, They don't want the government messing with them, so they just stay in homes illegally and meet underground in these house churches. And I asked the leader, have you ever been to prison because of your faith? Many times. I said, what do they do? He says, oh, they tried to kill me in there. But then he said, I will never stop preaching Jesus.
Amen.
Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Do you want to follow Him? Follow His commands? Follow the explicit Word of God? And even, are you willing to put Christ above yourself if it meant death? Or like one man we met in Hanoi. He was a communist. And he came to know Christ. He said, what happened to you? He says, well, I wrote a letter to the communist government and told I became a Christian. I said, what did it happen? He said, they wrote me back since you can't be a Christian in the communist. I said, what did they do? They took everything away from him. He's an old man now. And they took what we'd call his Social Security away from him, his Medicare and Medicaid. They took it all. Why? Because he said, Jesus is my Lord. How many of us are willing to do that? You see, Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, I'm going to be the Lord of your life. Be willing to deny yourself. Then look at the second thing. He says, take up your cross. Look at what he says. Take up your cross. What does that mean? That means you're willing to die for Jesus. You're willing to die for Christ. Barbara and I were over in the Philippines. One of our Southern Baptist missionaries, Bill Hyde, asked us to come. He organized an incredible training conference, trained almost 4,000 men and women to go into the villages and plant churches. But there's one little issue they got there. It is Islamic to the core. In fact, they had to put the Philippine army sent soldiers to surround the place. They had a bodyguard on Barbara and another bodyguard on me. I couldn't take one step without a bodyguard. A real, literally deal. I didn't ask. At the end of the training conference, we asked for commitments, and they made a commitment to start 1,186 new churches in those villages. 3 weeks after we left, Jihad Islamic terrorists put a bomb beside your missionary, Bill Hyde, and blew him to heaven. I ask you a question. Are you willing to take up your cross? Bill, a friend of mine, was willing to live and willing to die because Jesus was the Lord of his life. And then lastly, he says, follow me. What does that mean? That means you're willing to obey. Deny yourself means you've given up your rights, all rights, all rights, and you're going to follow Him. You're going to follow what He teaches in the Word of God. And that becomes number one of your life, even above your own life. Those are hard decisions when you're living under persecution. And then second, it says, take up your cross. That means you're willing to die for Christ. You're willing to die for Him. And thirdly, he says, follow me. What does that mean? That means you're willing to obey Him. Obey Him. When God speaks to your heart about something, you're going to obey. People ask me and Barbara a lot, are y'all afraid about where you go? Well, sometimes I have to be honest. I know I'm going in to a country, but I'm not real sure I'm going to come out. You know what? That issue has been settled. It was settled a long time ago when Christ became the Lord of my life. Amen?
Amen.
You see, we are to obey Him. One of the greatest Southern Baptist missionaries that's ever lived is a lady by the name of Lottie Moon. You know anything about Lottie Moon? Let me tell you a little bit about her. She was raised over here in Virginia, not too far from Thomas Jefferson's plantation. She's not the first single woman missionary ever to go on the foreign mission field, but she's probably the most famous one. Spotty Moon was well educated. She was very cultured. She got saved while she was attending college. And after the Civil War, she dedicated her life to go to China as a missionary. But when she got there, she found it very hard because, you know, the China called Americans at that time foreign devils. Plus, it was difficult traveling out to all these villages. She was a woman, and men wouldn't want to care about listening to her. But when she was about 40 years old, she moved to a little village called Ping Tu. And she did pioneer mission work. One day in 1887, after she'd been there 47 years, 47 years, ministering patiently, plugging along, because Christ was the Lord of her life, she obeyed Him and she was on her post. She was doing what she was called to do. Three Chinese men showed up at her door and said, "We've heard about this doctrine you've been teaching. Tell us about it." And Lottie Moon said she's never seen such spiritual hunger in her entire life. The result was people began to get saved, a church was planted, and they baptized over 1,000 converts in Ping Tu. It became the greatest Southern Baptist evangelistic center in all China. War broke out. And when war broke out, famine came. And our Southern Baptist missionaries had to tighten their belts because of lack of money. And Lottie Moon decided that she would decided every penny not spent on herself would be a penny she'd use to feed the little children. Lottie Moon began to give her meals away to starving children. And before anyone knew it, Lottie Moon was starving to death. When the other missionaries discovered what she was doing, Lottie Moon weighed 50 pounds. So they decided to put her on a ship for San Francisco to get her back to America so she could get medical help. And on that ship, her nurse, whose name was Cynthia, said, as Lottie Moon began to sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And Cynthia, the nurse, said, "Lottie, you have sang that song so many times. You have taught so many people that wonderful song." One night, Lottie Moon woke up and she started singing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but He is strong." And when the morning came, Lottie Moon opened her eyes and she raised her arms and she extended the breath out of her lungs and she formed the fist, which is a traditional Chinese greeting. And with that gesture, Lottie Moon, when she expelled the air of her lungs, breathed no more. It was Christmas Eve in 1912. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Let's pray. I want to ask you today, number one, look at your heart. Have you made Christ the Lord of your life? As well as your Savior? Is He your Lord and Savior? If you die today, you know for sure you're going to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Well, I've been playing church." Why don't you give your life to Christ? Say, "I believe in the Savior. I know you died for my sins. I know you rose from the dead. I believe all that. But today, Lord, I am surrendering my life to you. I want you to come into my heart and take control of my life." Would you just pray that to me? That's what a Christian is. Now, I know that most all of you have done that. Maybe everybody. But I want you to think about this question. What are you willing to die for? And would you be willing to quietly, privately, in your own prayer time right now, just thank Christ, say thank you, Jesus, for saving me, and confess Him as Lord. Say, I've done it before, I'm going to do it now. Jesus, you are my Lord. And I'm willing to live for you, I'm willing to die for you, regardless of what happens in the future. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
I want to say one final thing. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I know that God is sovereign. And He's on His throne. I've been studying the book of Revelation lately, and I'm going to tell you what it says. It says that God is on His throne.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand about the hymn of invitation. Pastor, you want to come to the front? You confess Christ as your Lord and Savior today. We want you to come here and say, Brother Pastor Gary, I gave my life to Christ. Or if you want to join this wonderful church, you're looking for a great church to come to. Listen, you're not going to get any better than this one. I'm telling you, I know folks here. And you just come, unite, and join here for this wonderful fellowship. Brother Tim.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this, Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WilliamsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.